Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. Pleased to welcome back into the studio Renee Hoganson, who is running for, it's a fourth district, is it not?
Yes, U.S. House of Representatives.
House of Representatives.
Thank you for having me, David.
It's good to see you again.
Good to see you.
When you see a result in the 18th Congressional District in Pennsylvania, Connor Lamb being declared the winner there, what does that do for your hopes in your race against Vicki Artzler?
Oh, it absolutely elevates my hopes. That, the Doug Jones race, there have been many races over this last year that have given me hope and encouraged me in this race. I've been at this over a year now. I mean, I knew I was going to have to start early.
It's interesting in reading some of the aftermath of that race, and I haven't got through as many of the commentaries on that as I wanted to, but there was one today that says how a Democrat succeeds in Trump country. Would you call the 4th district in Missouri Trump country?
I would say yes. I would say that's accurate.
Mm-hmm. So the point that this writer is making that, first of all, Connor Lamb was up against a mediocre campaigner, that they called him a wet blanket of a candidate, the opponent for him. And that it's just persons who matter. Well, I don't think that your opponent on the Republican side, and you're going to have a primary race, but I don't think if we look ahead to the Republican, I don't think that she would necessarily be called a wet blanket of a candidate. Do you? So
I don't think that's a fair question.
I don't think that they could use the same terminology. So what I'm saying is that while it is encouraging that Democrats are winning in certain races, my belief, and there's another headline that I think speaks, in Pennsylvania election shaped by Trump, candidates still mattered. So I think even though the sensibilities are, well, we don't like this person, it comes down to who the candidates are.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I'm campaigning on is let's get back to a hardworking Democrat like Ike Skelton. Ike Skelton did a lot for this district. He brought a lot of money to this district. He enhanced the economy. And by and large, people see and understand that Representative Artzler has done little to nothing to help this district. And so...
So when you think of the results that you've mentioned, that I've mentioned, how has the National Party reacted? Have they reacted in any way that you see, okay, now they're going to start paying attention to the possibility that it in another district where it voted heavily in favor of the current president, maybe there's an opportunity to swing that?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, I've been at this a year now. And at first, you know, I was not on the DCCC radar at all. And now I am. The hard work that I've done this last year, every single day, talking with people, raising money, writing all of the things that I've done have elevated this district and this race in the eyes of the DCCC. And so we're communicating with them regularly. We're getting feedback from them. I'm very encouraged.
When you go out and meet with people, what are the issues that they want to talk to you about most?
You know, it's interesting. It's pretty consistent. It's healthcare. It's how our government is working or not working. Where the corruption is. It's their kitchen table concerns about economy. It's concerns about education. It's concerns about student loan debt. Part of what makes me a great candidate in this district is I've lived here 40 years and I understand what the concerns are of farmers. I understand what the concerns are of small business owners. I understand what the concerns are of university staff and personnel and students. I mean, I've got two students at the university right now.
How do you get past, like if you brought up healthcare and you heard the interview mm-hmm. that I did right before you came on, and it's about our healthcare system and the costs and prices of that healthcare and the way that it is managed and has become more like a business. That is one of the topics I want to talk to you about. Gun control is the other one, or gun issues are the other one. But let's start with healthcare. How do you get past the conversation with somebody where all they want to say is Obamacare bad or Obamacare good, because it's more nuanced than that.
Absolutely.
And you can have other conversations with people that are not just, well, where do you stand on that one main dividing point?
The ACA is actually more popular than it used to be, first of all. And secondly, when the ACA was first implemented, it was widely acknowledged that it was not to be the end game. It was not supposed to be the solution to our healthcare system. It was supposed to be a walk in the right direction. And I talk a lot about, and people are interested in talking about, you know, basic healthcare for everyone, whether that's Medicare for all or or emulating another system worldwide. I mean, we're one of the only countries, I think we may be one of two countries in the whole world, industrialized countries, that don't have healthcare for their entire population. And so there are many different healthcare systems that we could look at to implement something to provide healthcare for our people.
When you have that conversation with people, how do they respond?
There are some prejudices sometimes, like they'll say, well, we don't want that because of the way Canada's works, or we don't want that because of the way England's works. But, whenever I get to talking about all of the myriad of ways that we could implement this, people become much more open when they understand what I'm really talking about is providing basic health care for them. And it frees people up. I had one woman last summer, I was actually on a parade route, and she pulled me off the parade route and she said, my husband, he can't leave his job. You know, that golden handcuffs situation. My husband can't leave his job. He wants to start his own business, but he can't leave his job because of healthcare. And so I'm talking with her, and it took her a minute to realize what I'm saying is your husband will actually be freer because you will just have healthcare. You will just have basic healthcare.
How did you educate yourself on the issue? What forms your opinions on healthcare?
Well, I have had so much fun this last year in this race because I have learned so many new things about so many issues, and it's just been really interesting. There's a not-for-profit group called Physicians for a National Healthcare Program, I believe is the name of that organization. They've put out a couple of really great documentaries. There's a lot written, of course, about healthcare. There's a lot written about all of the different programs around the world. Japan has a good one, Australia, Germany. I mean, there's a lot to choose from. Personally, my own feeling is that if we could lower the age of healthcare incrementally, to me, it makes sense to do this over a period of time. And for the people who aren't in that population segment at that point, or that demographic segment at that point, we could give them a public option.
Lowering
the age of Medicare until we encapsulate everyone, creating a national formulary so that we can negotiate drug prices. I mean, as the last caller or the last person you interviewed talked about, I mean, we pay twice as much for pharmaceuticals. We pay twice as much for healthcare as anywhere else in the whole world. What that tells me is that those folks are price gouging us. Because you, as a business owner, I can promise you, they're making money on Canada. They're making money at half the price around the world. Healthcare is 18% of our GDP. It's 9 to 12% of every other country's. And there are definitely things that we can do to improve this situation and provide healthcare for people. Right now, we have pharmaceutical companies profiteering off of our people while we literally have people dying. I've had at least three people come up to me since I started this campaign and said, I've had an elderly relative die because they couldn't fill their prescriptions. I mean, this is morally reprehensible, and it has to stop. And part of what I am campaigning on and believe wholeheartedly is that in order to get any of these situations worked out, we've got to have what I call house cleaning reforms, campaign finance reform, lobbying reform, and redistricting reform. And when you look at our current representatives, and Representative Hartzler included, their votes typically go toward their lobbyists, their big donors, and absolutely unconcerned with the constituents that they supposedly represent.
Renee Hoganson is our guest. She's a Democratic candidate for 4th District Congressional District here in Missouri. Let's move to guns then. What have been your exchanges with those who you've met at different meetings and had entered into that conversation?
Yeah, that's been really interesting as well. And I will say, I want to just say for the listeners, there's no responsible gun owner that has to be worried about their Second Amendment rights. This is not a conversation about taking away anyone's guns. And, to me, that was a narrative that was put out there in the last administration, and a lot of guns were sold over that story. And to me, it is simply a manipulation and nothing more. And what I'm finding is that when I talk with folks, and especially remind them, your gun rights are not even on the table here. If you're a responsible gun owner, you absolutely have the right to bear arms. I mean, I believe in the Second Amendment. I support the Second Amendment just as I support the First Amendment and the others. But most of the people that I'm talking with, and I mentioned a specific conversation to you right before we came on, but I was in Sedalia for a pancake breakfast recently, and I went in and I had maybe 20 different conversations with folks there. And the very first person, I said, what issues are important to you? And he said, the Second Amendment. And I said, you know, tell me what your thoughts are about that. And he went on to talk about all of the things that are going on in the national conversation. He supported even more extensive background checks than what is even being talked about. He supported getting, you know, outlawing bump stocks. He supported, you know, not making guns available to people on the no-fly list or to someone who has a history of spousal abuse. These are very common sense conversations. And, you know, again, this idea that it's all or nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a manipulation by lobbyists. Again, it goes back to powerful lobbyists.
Do you feel as a candidate pressure from the national party to adhere to certain positions, or do you feel like you can be your own person on these issues?
Oh, absolutely. I can be my own person. And I wouldn't be here if I couldn't. As people that know me know, I'm a bit of a renegade. And, I think for myself, I do my own research. And really, there's been no one who has approached me and said, you need to take this stance.
How do you plot your strategy? Advisors, good help, people that tell you here's where you should be and when you should be there and expect this.
All those things. For a while, I was on the campaign trail by myself, which was really, really difficult. I had about, I want to say maybe 2 months without help. And I so much value my team. I've got a really great team of people. It's partly their experience and that, but it's also partly instincts, my own leadership experiences, my own experiences just being a constituent. What would I want in a representative? So,
Any final thought during this visit? Again, got some ways to go, but you know what? The next several months are going to fly by. I mean, this
yes,
is a year
are.
In a race,
yes,
and that's
they
why
are.
They call it a race because there's some speed to it.
Yes, and this last year has flown by. I mean, I've literally been at this every day. We announced March 8th of 17 to a crowd of 200 people. I mean, it's been a year at least. And the only other thing that I would say is just, you know, Representative Hartzler has literally come out and said that she does not feel her job is to represent Missourians, that that's state representative's jobs, and that her job is to represent her party in Congress. And I think that is fundamentally wrong and flawed. I think that when you are a representative, you are beholden to all of your constituents, regardless of party. And I think it's time that we put party aside and vote American again.
Renee Hoganson, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Renee Hoganson, again, candidate 4th Congressional District in Missouri on the Democratic ticket.